Hello, dear listener, it's Daniel. Now, before we get to this episode, just want to remind you, me and Core just launched a Patreon. For $7 a month, you can get exclusive content. Now, how do you sign up for said exclusive content? Well, we made it easy. There's a link down in the show notes, or go to patreon.com/litdpod. We'll see you soon. Now, let's get to today's episode. Welcome to Light in the Darkness.
Off-topic episodes are a sub-series within the greater Light in the Darkness podcast, where Daniel and I have a chance to sit down and stray away from our normal supernatural and paranormal fare. These are our day-in and day-out conversations. The only difference is, this time we have microphones in front of us and we're recording it, so you can take a listen.
So consider yourself invited to the digital campfire, if you will. The microphones are on, the chairs are not that bad. The coffee's still somewhat there. And tonight's topic, falling in love with Jesus. Again.
And before we get into today's off topic, we just want to remind you, subscribe, check out our socials. All donations given through LITDpod.com.
That's LITDpod.com.
LITDpod.com. All donations will receive a nice, spiffy, durable, lovely latex waterproof sticker.
Folks, they've been through the dishwasher. They've been through the car wash. My nephew scratched at it with his nails, and it's still there.
So go check out LITDpod.com.
That's LITDpod.com.
That is LITDpod.com. And without further ado, let's get to it. So Danny boy.
Yes?
We couldn't really decide what we wanted to call this. Falling in love with Jesus again, returning to your first love,
rekindling the flame,
being the bridegroom's bride,
stop just being roommates and go back to being lovers,
all these things. But the concept really is just that times in our lives where, you know, when you first meet Jesus, when you first begin to encounter him, there's this infatuation with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He fills your thoughts and you're devoted to him. All this stuff is new. You're in church. You're hearing things out of his word. It's all fresh. It's all blossoming. That's all you can think of. But there's this process where a lot of the times, the longer we're in church, the more we do this life of our week in, week out, that flame that's inside of us kind of has a tendency, and a lot of us, to taper off.
I think I get exactly what you're saying, and something we were talking about before we actually hit record. This is a relationship, and a great way to paint this picture for you, if you haven't already, to grasp on is, okay, if you're married, you get it. If you're dating someone, you'll also get it. When you first get together, you're talking, and they text you, and it's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, what'd they say? You know, and oh, they just sent me a picture. They got a new shirt, you know, and those sweet nothings you do, you go out of your way because you love them, because you care. And being that it's new is part of it too. And it's that, no, you say goodnight. No, you say goodnight. And quite frankly, it's very similar to your relationship with the Lord.
Because the more settled in you get, those things become so commonplace and they're happening so often that if you're not careful, they lose their specialness. You have to kind of sit there and think about, you have to go in a place in your mind of like, what was life like before my significant other? How did I feel on my day in and day out before I knew them? And all that just kind of helps bring some of those emotions back, get you more thankful for your significant other. Instead of, it changes it. The longer you're in a relationship, it's not a, no, you say goodnight. No, you say goodnight. Once you're married, it's like, for the love of God, can we just say goodnight?
Okay, in my household, it's, these feet aren't going to rub themselves.
Well, I'm more so talking about when there's a quarrel going on.
Oh, well, that typically ends with, these feet aren't going to rub themselves. Love you, babe.
But returning to our first love, this is something that a lot of the times, I mean, guys have a tendency, I know, that once we get in a relationship with a woman, we have a tendency that once, like, the bag is secured, we stop pursuing. We stop bringing the flowers. We stop writing the poetry. We stop pursuing them, taking them on date nights. We stop making them feel special. And these are the same things that happen in our relationship with the Lord. The whole marriage thing, it's really a microcosm of our relationship with the Lord. It's all an analogy.
It's two big C words for me. So the trap we're talking about right now would be complacency. That's getting comfortable and really just kind of laying back and letting everything just continue. But the bigger C word we should be talking about is both of these things are a covenant. You're in a covenant with God. You're in a covenant with your significant other. And both are to be cherished. Boy, a lot of big C words here, huh? But the point is, as with any good relationship, there's time and there's effort. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Times and places where, you know, and how, rather, we put in that effort. And how other things inspired us to do that. And things we picked up along the way.
And sometimes it's a more dramatic, instantaneous kind of thing. And sometimes it's a gradual process where over the course of time, you just kind of find yourself, you don't even realize you're doing it, but all of a sudden you're getting more out of the Word again. You're just being more aware of His presence and you're more in love with Jesus than you were the day before.
Let's get into it. Let's get into these stories. You want to start us off? You want me to start us off?
Well, I reckon I can go ahead and kick us off. This is a more recent happening in the past few years, I suppose you could say.
Okay.
I remember there was a season in my life where, you know, I've known Jesus since I was a kid. I've done church life. I've done all these things. And there was just a season where my prayer life largely consisted of, Lord, help me, help me, help me. Help me to love you. Help me to actually want to read your word. Help me to actually want to do this. Help me to want to spend time with you. And that's as far as it ever went. And that was my prayer life. Every night when I would lay down in bed before I went to sleep, that was my prayer. And it was like I was stuck in this loop of that's all that I could pray. And as negative as that cycle kind of was, the Lord really honored it. I remember when I came to the point that I asked the Lord, will you woo me like a man woos a woman? Win my heart. Show me why you are lovable. Show me why I should love you more. Bring me to a place of intimacy with you that I have not previously walked in. And He did. And it came through a bunch of different methods, honestly. I can't point to one specific encounter that I would say is this miraculous event that baptized me in His love. I think it was kind of a gradual process through Him awakening old dreams in me, through Him increasing the gifting of the Lord on my life, the prophetic stuff. This podcast has played a big part in helping me to grow in intimacy with Him and pursue Him. And remember that it's all about Him and not about what I'm doing and what I'm doing with the show.
So that's awesome. Because what I just heard, and I've, gosh, been hearing it so much for us in this show lately anyway, He didn't overwhelm you. He met you right where you were. And He took you down this journey all the while meeting you and rekindling that flame in all these different ways. I have a similar, like, honestly, and you've been a part of it. it's the prophetic for me. It was this special, I went down to an altar call and I asked him for new fire. It was in this special moment. I just knew he was down at that altar with me. I felt like I was getting this warm hug, honestly. I didn't even know what all he was doing that day. And then there's been all these fun little tiny moments of just situations where sometimes I don't have the words, or I don't know exactly how to act, or he'll drop his perspective. And it's just this kind of, I've got your back. And I don't know. It's this cool, like, spiritual dad is right there with me all the while. Something I saw a long time ago from my grandfather, and something I said that I wanted in my relationship with the Lord is, I remember one time Poppy was doing the dishes in the kitchen, and he's just in there and he's singing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus," while he's doing the dishes. And I walked in and I was like, "Oh, sorry, Poppy. I didn't mean to interrupt your song." He's like, "Join in, son. Just singing to the Lord, just loving on him. And he's loving on me." You know, I was in the room, but it didn't matter who was in the room, because he was just having this moment right there with the Father. That was probably the first time I ever really just saw somebody practicing his presence like that. And it made me want that. I wouldn't begin to walk into that until later in life and understanding what that meant with Mama Bear, but it was definitely something that I wanted.
And seeing other people in love with Jesus, that'll get on you.
It did.
Like, that rubs off. A big part of my rekindling the flame was becoming part of a small group of people who are just on fire for him. Like, you see people who love him and you see the way they talk about him, and it just stirs something in your heart to want that too. I'm thinking also of like books like Birthing the Miraculous by Heidi Baker. Just the way she talks about God, that passion comes through, and you see, this is what's possible with my relationship with God. It's kind of like, I remember a story of like this married couple who just weren't particularly affectionate. Neither of them grew up in families that were affectionate. And there was some situation where they ended up living with another older couple. Living with this older couple, this other couple was very affectionate, and they would spend time, they would sit in each other's laps and like cuddle and like in front of this other couple. And it gradually started opening their eyes to being like, oh, this is what marriage can be. This is what intimacy and marriage can be. So a lot of us, we lose sight of intimacy with God because we don't know what it can be. So I guess that's one good point of advice, is find people that know God and see how they talk about them, because that will kindle the passion inside of you to pursue him. Because a lot of this, he's just waiting on us. We just need the motivation to come to him.
Fellowship with like-minded people, or even fellowship with, you hope to be one day like-minded people with. That's fantastic. Okay. Well, in this vein of thought, I'll have like a worship playlist going, and there'll be times where I'll just sing to the Father. I love to sing to the Father. And there have been moments where it's just like, I don't know how to explain it. Sometimes in the quiet moments, I just get these sweet nothings from him, like a father just talking to his son. It's definitely practicing his presence again. But it's also those still sweet moments of just listening, like, what do you have to say, Father? What is it you want to convey to me? I think nothing has ever made me fall more in love with him than the moment that I was sitting in Mama Bear's office, and I was devastated, because I was just convinced I was going to be a terrible father, and that I was just going to continue this generational curse of leaving and breaking hearts. And in that moment, she's like, son, shut up. Just ask him. And I did. And he met me right there, and he showed me my babies, and I heard him, and he was like, you're going to be a great father. I designed you that way. I don't know that I've ever felt more seen or heard in my life than in that moment. I just remember her face. She's like, what? Because I don't know what my face looked like, but you want to talk about a new love. Whew, right there. I walked out of there different.
So if point one in our unscripted, unplanned, there's no bullet points in front of us. We're just talking.
That's true.
If point one is to glean from those who are farther along in intimacy with the Lord, point two that I'm hearing from you is ask him. And that goes back to me asking him to woo me like a woman. Ask him for his perspective on things. Ask him to love on you. When you experience his love, it's going to draw you in for more. You can't taste of that and then not desire more of it. I would recommend to absolutely anyone the book, Practice the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. This guy was a French monk in the 1600s, and the writings contained in that short book will drive you deeper into his presence and into his love, because that's really what it's all about, living every moment of your day motivated by the love of God. Ask the Lord to show you his love, and that will rekindle the fire in you.
Book changed my viewpoint on the whole thing. I mean, reading that, it changed my mindset on just the everyday ongoing conversations with God to intentional moments like we've talked about. I don't put anything in the passenger seat if no one's riding with me. Like, that's where God sits. There have been times we've recorded, we've just pulled up an empty chair. It's that acknowledgement and that ongoing, just beautiful conversation with God that never ends.
Brother Lawrence talks in that book about the process by which he came to the point where if he bent over to pick something up off the floor, that he wanted to do it for the motivation of the love of God. Highly recommend that book. Tidbit or caveat, get a modern English translation of it, because the original reads like the King James Version. So just a little word to the wise, get a modern interpretation.
In case thou dost wanteth a tippeth. So a lot of times if I'm having quiet time and it's not of the tub variety, and for those of you who've been listening a while, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, I just love having quiet time with the Lord when I'm sitting in the tub. But another thing that really makes me fall in love with the Creator is his creation. I love just being outdoors. And this isn't for everyone, but I'll put it in a couple different perspectives, you know, looking at a waterfall, just listening to the rain, whether you're in a city apartment or in your house, or watching a bird fly by, or waking up in the morning and rolling over and thanking God for that beautiful woman beside you in the bed who took your last name and got in a covenant. Just the little things. I mean, this is not rocket science by any means. This truly is a mindset as well. Guess you could say that since my favorite place is truly being in the mountains, I tend to take that whole, I lift my eyes unto the hills, where does my help come from thing very, very literally sometimes, because I've gotten a lot of answer to life scenarios praying in the mountains.
And I think that this is no new way of approaching the Lord. The Apostle Paul knew about it. Romans 1:20-21. My wife Megan and I always quote this verse a lot when it's fall time and all the trees are changing colors and they're just so beautiful. Romans 1:20. This is the New King James Version. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. God created the world in a way that when we look around and we see the majesty of a mountain, when we hear the soothing sound of a waterfall, when these things are, when we experience these things that the Lord has created, they reveal invisible attributes of him. He created those for you to parallel them to him. That's why so many of the Psalms use natural verbiage in the poetry. They're comparing the Lord to all these different things that he created, because he created them for us to make that parallel.
How about that? We just stumble into a good one, or did we? It's just, I've found truly when, like you said, when you asked the Father to woo you and he met you, so many times in my life, I would love to say that it was 50-50, but it wasn't even close. If I took a step towards him, he came running. You know what I mean? Like, just, I think that's what he wants. Take that step with the Father. Are you hearing this and maybe thinking, it's been a while since I went out and bought flowers. It's been a while since I, you know, sat down and just read him a word, or spent some time even talking to the Father, or even stopping to look at the birds flying around in the backyard that he created. A little effort goes a long way. I promise you, with every fiber of my being, you take a step in his direction, he's coming. He's coming.
And I think back to the whole analogy of a man and a woman, or a woman and a man. Like, at the beginning, you kind of tiptoe around it. You don't put all your cards on the table. You're kind of like, you don't reply to that text for at least an hour. Don't let them think you're desperate. All those things that we do, that we're taught to do in our love relationships between man and woman to make it not seem like we're desperate. The Lord doesn't have insecurities. He doesn't have human inhibitions. When you ask him to show you his love, he generously and lavishly shows you his love. He is not afraid to put all his cards on the table because he is fully secure in who he is. He is not afraid of you turning your back on him. He is for you and he is after you. And when you ask him to start showing you his love through the people you know, through personal encounters with just him in quiet time, and in the creation that is so majestically splayed around us, he will passionately pursue you. And when you do ask him to start pursuing you and he starts showing you his love, all the motivation for those other things, for reading your Bible, for prayer, for all these other disciplines that seem so daunting when you're first starting out in your faith, the motivation to do those things, to grow closer to him, it all just wells up inside of you and it makes it all doable. It makes it all easy to just pursue him, to lay down things. Let me tell you something. I have laid down things in my life that had never occurred to me to be left behind, all for pursuit of him. I am saying yes to things of him, and that just means saying more no's to other things that are kind of distractions from my life, and it's all motivated by that love. I want to know him more, and I'm willing to get rid of anything that stands in the way. And there are things that maybe are standing between you and your relationship with the Father that have always been shame points for you. I can't get freedom from this thing. I can't get freedom from that. That's standing between me and the Lord. And you're letting that thing distract you from his love so much that it just kind of reinforces and you cling to it that more tightly sometimes. But asking the Lord to help you fall in love with him again, you'll be amazed at the grace that comes for you to be able to say no to things.
I think you're absolutely right, bro. I think truly cultivating your garden, you know, getting those weeds out, catching all the little foxes, if you will, that get in the way. And as that love grows, those things become more aware. And as that becomes your standard, biggest thing you can do is pass it to the next generation. Set the standard in your home, parents. You know, just like you want the kids to see, you know, you and mom in love and how to treat her and how that goes, show them what a wonderful in love relationship with the Father looks like. Make that the norm, being in love with the Father.
And just like all of our off topics, dear listener, we're barely scratching the surface on this one. There's so much to say. You could have months and months of weekly sermons on this topic alone. But I think this might be what we have for you on this one.
And remember, we love you guys. We hope this sparks conversation and contemplation. Until next time, take care, y'all.